said, wake up, puff.
This is Mix 94.5's Clazzy, Matt and Kimber.
Clazzy, Matt and Kimber in the morning.
Hey podcasters, Clazzy, Matt and Kimber here.
Hey, on today's catch-up, Nick Natanui talks footy, isolation, kids' books and more.
Kimber reveals something very personal.
Clazzy debuted his new book.
Something stinky around here.
And we ask, which celebrity did you share a plane with?
Clazzy, Matt and Kimber in the morning.
On Mix 94.5.
Ladies and gentlemen, not only is he a renowned children's author, Stu can play footy a little bit too. West Coast Eagles champion, 2012 All-Australian, Nick Natanui. Good morning, mate. How are you?
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me. How are you?
Oh, yeah, we're great. Good, buddy. Thanks for joining us in this weird time. You've been doing some strange training, I'm sure, including my Dalmatian Florence, I think, stealing your witch's hats at some point. But how's things going? How are you travelling?
Pretty good. It's been weird. We've been training in pairs for the last 8 weeks. And it's only been the last week and a half where we've been back in a bigger group, which has been pretty good and fun to see all the boys again.
Well, Nick, none of this has been easy, but players are going to take to the Gold Coast experience differently. So knowing what's to come, or even not knowing what's to come, really, what do you think is going to be the biggest obstacle for you personally?
I think just being up there and being in a hub. So I think we're trying to get some sort of exemptions or restrictions lifted where we can go out and actually go to the beach or go out and explore a little bit on our days off. But I think being stuck in a hotel, we're used to going across and being in a hotel for, you know, 3 or 4 days. But for 4 weeks, especially for the boys that take their families across, it's going to be hard trying to keep a toddler in a hotel room for 4 weeks straight. But I'm sure they'll find a way to give us some opportunity to go out and do some things.
Yep.
Mm. And I believe it was the first, like, full contact training session. I mean, was that a shock to the system, buddy? Are you a bit sore today?
We were a little bit. Just not, like, we've been running the whole time and not been able to get within a metre and a half, 2 metres of each other for a while. So everyone was excited. And I think because everyone knew it was our first session back, everyone went a little bit turbo and went a bit harder at each other.
So you've got to be careful, don't you?
They took out 2 months of frustration and, you know, pay cuts and, being stuck at home, no training, all this. So Big Shannon Hearn was going around and hurting a few guys. There was a few guys wearing, like, Tubi Grip compression on their legs yesterday afternoon because they had a few hits. But, everyone's pulled up really well besides that.
Shannon Hearn, the old skipper, hitting you with those tree trunk legs. Mate, okay, let's move forward a little bit to getting on a plane going to the Gold Coast. So, are you going to sit next to your captain, Luke Shuey, or would you go with your old mate from Bushby Street in Midvale, in Michael Walters from Frio, because you're on the plane with the Dockers boys?
I'll tell you one thing. That bloke's, the tall players normally sit at the front of the plane, so yep. If that little small midget's at the front, then something's going wrong. So,
you've been mates for a long time, though, haven't you, and Sonny?
We have been good mates. He's good. It's gonna be fun. It's been funny watching the dialogue between, I think, the South Australian clubs not wanting to travel or stay with each other. I think from our perspective, we don't really care. Like, we see each other all the time. Like, Justin Longmuir obviously used to work at the footy club. And, we're not sharing bedrooms with him. So, albeit we're back playing footy. So, it should be good fun.
And, Nick, you've been followed by an Amazon film crew for a footy documentary, I believe. Have they continued filming you during COVID shutdown? And how intrusive is it?
Yeah, they have a bit. Like, I've had to film a little bit of it on my own, or they've come and filmed from afar when I've been training. It's pretty much all the time. I'm surprised they're not sitting behind me right now. I'm still at home, but they were with me yesterday afternoon, and they actually asked. They knew I was doing this interview, and they wanted to come and film me doing it on my phone, but I just needed a break.
fair enough. Yeah.
I had to lie and say that I was going to be doing it elsewhere. So, but they're with me. They're with me all the time. They follow myself and Adam Simpson, and then the boys as well at training. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's almost like a little TV reality show just following you around.
Mate, so, now you know how Michael Jordan feels.
Yeah, now I do.
And, mate, if there's any positives to be taken out of this time, do you think that the extra rest and whatnot could help people like yourself and other players actually prolong their careers, your career?
Yeah, I think so. Like, it'll be a matter of, like, we've had a break, but also I think the biggest thing's going to be how they're going to cram the games in towards, you know, when we do start. We've got a few 7-day turnarounds, which is good, but then I think our last game of our 4-week block that's coming up is, you know, a 5-day turnaround or so. So it's a as long as we don't have too many of those, some of us older blokes, and we'll be pretty pleased.
Yeah, the ice bath can't fix everything, can it?
Yeah. Hey Nick, I'm just as a footy fan, mate, and I just host rooms at the footy, right? I'm missing the competitive battle of you guys out there. You guys are a competitive beast. You must be missing that aspect of just getting out and playing footy.
Yeah, that's been the biggest part, I think, because we all like to compete with each other. We've been doing things just from home. So, like, in our pairs, like, we'll have a goal-kicking competition at the end to see who buys lunch for the week or, even just calling each other up and, we sit at the front and bet on, what colour car's going to drive past. Like, you're going to be black one first or white one.
We're not bored.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to get out the board games. Does the competitive nature continue?
That's already been who can put together the puzzle the quickest, things like that, because... Yeah, it's been boring, but we're so glad that footy's back because we can start to tap into some of that stuff again properly.
Special guest rapper today. Sorry, Snoop. We've got Nick Nat right here.
Little Nick's big day. Well, I'm not sure. I'm a little bit wary. Will I make friends? Will I be scary? What is this?
Rapping with the best of them with his book, of course, Little Nick's Big Day. Nick Nat Nui, mate. Good to have you on.
It's so
that
good.
Audio in the bin.
We loved it.
That was good.
Now, look, Little Nick's Big Day, all about your first day at school. Were they your memories that you reflect in the book, or was it just the inspiration of writing something relatable for kids?
Oh, probably little bits and pieces of both. It was a hard concept. Like, for me, now looking back, I have a much more appreciation for a greater appreciation for children's book authors. Like, what I thought was just a bunch of pictures and words put together in 10 minutes probably took me close to a year. So it was a good learning experience.
Mm. Yeah, you see that with children's TV too. I think they get better television than we do as adults. Did you try your story out on some of your, younger family members?
Yeah, I actually did. My sister's kids actually were the first to kind of read the draft copies, and they actually weren't fans of it, so I was pretty scared.
Oh,
but,
okay. Good old family.
Uncle Nick, that sucks.
They couldn't understand. They thought it sucked. They're like, you didn't have dreadlocks when you were a little kid. You're a liar. they were the toughest critics, but yeah, beyond that, everyone else was pretty good and wrapped with it. So it was, it's been a success so far.
Hey, Nick, Kimber released a book yesterday and it's already going off. Right? So have you got some tips for her as a star author, especially on those days when she's got to do those quality book signings with hundreds lined up? What do you suggest?
I'll be there lining up. No, I'll be lining up. I heard about you guys writing the book, so I think you guys have more experience than me. I think, Claire, you've done 36, 37 years in the industry already, so you've got a fair understanding of what to do, but for me it's more about having fun. I think I had to find a way to relate it to not only children but to the parents. The biggest feedback I get back is from my teammates, where it's they get sick of reading it over and over again. Like, when their kid brings the book out, Luke Shuey's the biggest one. His son brings it out once a day and he hates Little Nick. Like, Shuey hates Little Nick, but his son Ollie loves it.
Yeah, Ollie loves it. Danny loves it.
I gotta try and find a way that parents enjoy it to a certain extent.
Now, I think the only experience I've got is that I was a kid once. That's all I've got.
That's a good start, man.
Yeah.
No, but Nick, what you say is really valid, because this is how this all came up. But the last, earlier in the week, we were saying, oh, everyone's written a kid's book. How hard can it be? Turns out it's really hard.
Yeah. I think it's exactly right. Like, I was probably 5 years ago at the footy club. Everyone's brought out a clothing brand. It can't be that hard, but it's hard.
Hey, mate, thanks for your tips. We'll get cracking back on those books. And isn't it weird that you go from round one all of that time ago? It feels like a year ago playing Melbourne, and round two at the Gold Coast playing Gold Coast. It is bizarre, isn't it?
It's strange, real strange, but we're ready to go.
Well, Nick, now don't be a stranger, mate. It's taken us, we had to track down some very important people to get you on the show. So, it was been great chatting with you.
Thank you very much. I've forgotten where Subi is. We haven't been there for so long.
Yeah, it has been a while. Yeah, it's a suburb not that far from Perth and Shanton Park. Yeah,
I'll look it up.
Well, the Oval looks totally different, mate. Now it's part of the school, but it's
awesome.
Hey, Nick, good to chat, mate. All the best, and go get him.
Thanks very much, guys. Have a good day. Crazy Matt and Kimbo in the morning
on Mix 94.5. Today is the Cancer Council's biggest morning tea, their major fundraiser.
No, it was the 28th, yeah.
They're doing it all year anyway, but I thought it was a good day and a fitting for me to share this with you.
Yes.
And, I had a day off last week from being on the show, and that's because I required some surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So last year I went for my annual cervical screening test.
Yep.
And it returned some abnormal results. Mm. And some of those results, when they come back, some of those abnormal cells actually heal themselves over the next 12 months. So what they do is they ask you to just keep an eye on it. You come back a year later And a lot of the time they just go, you're all good.
Right.
See you in 5 years.
They're seen as irregular cells, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. They're just a bit irregular. But what happened when I went back recently for my second checkup, they said, oh, actually, there's some nasty stuff going on with your cells.
Right.
So they discovered some high-grade cells in my cervix, and those cells for me are called SYN3. Now, while that doesn't mean cancer, what it does mean is that 1 in 3 women who present with the cells that I do actually do develop cancer.
Okay.
So because there's no way of knowing who will go on to develop it, they make sure that they do a procedure in any woman who presents with those symptoms. And so last week I was put under a general anaesthetic and I had part of my cervix removed and some of the surrounding cells burnt out, which sounds, you know. And
great fun. Yeah.
And I know this isn't really dinner party talk and it's probably not breakfast radio talk.
But it's real. It's real. It's
well, and it's happened to you. So, no.
Yeah. But you know what? I have to say, like, finding out that I had those cells was actually really scary.
Right.
Like, you know, I think that I went to that second follow-up appointment thinking, oh, this will just be they'll go, oh, it's just fine, you can go now. Yeah. And when I sat down, she went, oh, no, we actually have to operate.
Mm.
And I wasn't really prepared for that.
No.
And I know, for me, I just know that there are thousands of women who do not get checked.
Yes.
And that's for a number of reasons. There are some who feel really embarrassed. There are others who are uncomfortable. They feel that getting the swab taken is uncomfortable. And it's only like, it's a second of slight discomfort.
May
you
I
know?
Ask a question? Yep. Is this what they would, like a pap smear? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, so years ago it was called a pap smear. Okay. And what that did was that saw basically the cells when they weren't quite right.
Mm.
But what they have now is this cervical screening, which is so sensitive and can pick up so many things. It actually picks up the virus that turns into those cells.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a really great early detector and much more... I guess, you know, just it's better at finding these earlier. Things.
COVID time isn't helping with people getting important medical checks as well, right?
No, and during COVID, I believe the number of cervical screenings, I think it went down 68%.
Yeah, that's
so
not good. That's
it's
dangerous.
Pretty severe. Yeah. And look, many years ago, they also created a vaccine called Gardasil, which would prevent against cervical cancers.
Yes.
Right.
And there are a lot of women who feel that because they had that vaccine, that they're safe and they don't need to get checked.
Yep.
Not foolproof.
Yep.
But I can tell you, I had the vaccine.
Yes.
And it's kind of like the flu, right? The easiest way to just explain it is that it just doesn't cover all strains.
Right.
No.
Yep.
So I'm currently waiting for my biopsy results. And I just wanted to talk about it because I know that these checks save lives.
Mm.
And I know that there are women listening who are overdue for their screening test. And I want this to be their reminder and also your encouragement to book that test today. Because, you know, cervical cancer is one of those cancers that if it's found early, the treatment is extremely effective.
Yep. Yeah.
And I think we need to jump on that. In fact, most women with early cervical cancer will be cured.
Yeah.
And I mean, when it comes to cancer, that's an incredible opportunity to, actually get well again.
I would also bet there's quite a few women listening right now have had exactly what you've had done.
Oh, because absolutely.
It's reasonably widespread with the irregular cells, so they'll know exactly what you're going through.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I just want to say, you know, don't be scared.
Yep.
Go and get it done because it is much scarier to find out later.
Of course.
And we've been talking on Mix for some time about Captain Paul and the struggles he's gone through with his bowel cancer.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel so fortunate that I'm in a position where I was able to get checked and taken care of before I have to go through what our friend Paulie is.
Sure. Yeah,
and so, you know, if you are one of those women or the men, if you've got women in your life who you think might not be getting checked, just ask them, like, go and get your screening done because it's super important. And, you know, and look, the procedure, look, I went to sleep and I woke up and they sorted it.
So you got a sandwich.
And I got a sandwich when I woke up. I got a ham sandwich.
The wake up part's important. Yeah. One question before we wrap. How's your cervix going?
Look, it's on the recovery. It's on the mend. It does take a little bit of time to recover. I mean, I've had major cells burnt and cut. So, you know, when you have yourself cut up like a sirloin, you do have to recover.
Yeah,
but I'm fine. And I feel privileged that I've been able to get that sorted. And so I'll let you know if the biopsy results come back as anything different. But please go and get checked.
Yeah.
And
thanks for saying that. It's good.
Oh, it's important, you know.
We're both going well until you mentioned the sirloin bit.
Sorry. And if you can help Cancer Council's, you know, morning tea, biggestmorningtea.com.au, it's a great way to get involved and try and help them out too. Yeah.
Well done, KC. Crazy Matt and Kimba in the morning on Mix 94.5.
yes, get your slippers on. It's time for a story.
It is time for a story. Sit on your reading mat. And today we've been writing books all week.
Yes.
I've released one yesterday, children's books. Matt, yours is tomorrow. But Dean Clares, it's your moment in the sun as a children's author.
Can I say up front that I cheated a little bit?
Why?
How?
Because my wife is a TA or EA, education assistant for four-year-olds. And I got some very handy tips. Well, she'll actually say that she wrote the book, even though she didn't.
Well, not only that, I am expecting big things because you are, you know, you are a father who's been through this stage.
I have.
Stage,
it's so. Like the kids are going on 23 and 19, which freaks me out because it feels like they were 6 and 3 and I was telling them silly poo stories yesterday.
Well, you've read a lot more children's books than Matt and I, so let's hear your story.
Leroy, the dog with the stinky bottom. There once was a dog named Leroy, a strong, handsome Labrador with a shiny golden coat. His owner, Max, thought he was the best dog in the world. There was only one problem. Leroy was known around town as the dog with the stinky bottom. He even tied a magic tree air freshener to his tail. At the park, Florence the Dalmatian was disgusted at the stench.
Your butt smells like rotten cheese mixed with poo.
But Gruff the Pomeranian threw up at the smell.
Oh, Leroy, I'm sorry, but your bottom smells like rotten cheese mixed with poo.
Leroy didn't know what to do. But at home one day, Scratchy the evil cat had an idea. I think your problem is that you eat everything. In fact, you're a garbage guts, Leroy. It's true, Scratchy. I just love food. Last night I helped myself to some leftover beef curry and a nice bowl of rice pudding. I think that's the problem, Leroy, Scratchy said. Why don't you stop eating human food? Leroy let out a huge squelchy fart. Okay, Scratchy, I'll try that. So Leroy did just that. A few days later at the park, McGruff and Florence ran up and took a big sniff.
Good news, Leroy! Your bottom smells like...
Well, it smells like a dog.
Leroy was so happy he wagged his tail so much that his magic tree fell off and he never had to use one again. The end. Oh, by the way, Leroy and Scratchy are now best of friends.
Don't you love a happy ending?
Clarzy, hey. That was fantastic.
Not only was that a great story, but I'm buying whatever you're selling.
You're up for it?
Yeah.
Great.
I love the fact that you both, your dogs both sound like you guys in a strange kind of way.
It happens that way.
It's very cool.
That
was great
so
fun as well.
Good.
Yeah. You know, that book was actually about 12 times longer than that. So I want to thank Tom and Padgy Neil for minimising down a little bit because I got a bit carried away.
And your wife for writing four more books.
Oh, she's still writing, yeah. she's JK at home. Clarzy, Matt and Kimbo in the morning on Mix 94.5. It is weird. We've had Nick Nat Nui on the radio this morning, which was a real treat. And you're going to see that weird situation where the players heading up to go into hub life on the Gold Coast. We speak of the not only the West Coast Eagles, but the Frio Dockers.
Yes.
But both teams are travelling on the same plane at the same time.
Or call it Derby 52.
Pretty much. In this guy, snakes on a plane.
Oh, my God.
No, it's combatants on a plane.
Does anyone else get to be on the plane with them?
Oh,
or, you know, is it that whole, oh, my God, I've got a celebrity.
They should have umpires.
Yeah.
Just in case there's a dispute over maybe the toilet?
Yes, not a 50-metre penalty, but a 1.5-metre penalty.
Because
there are a lot of people. I know you guys love your football, and I can imagine that if you went on a plane and you were like, you're not going to believe it, the entire Eagles team or the whole Dockers team was on the plane today, you guys would talk about that. That would be big thing.
No doubt whatsoever. And while I think of it, I bet they're happy that that Hayden Ballantyne's not playing for Freo anymore because he'd be niggling Eagles blokes all the way across to the Gold Coast, wouldn't he?
Elbowing them.
Oh, big time. Bit of a pinch.
Just with your bum when you're going to the toilet. Oh, sorry about that. Didn't mean to bump you.
But imagine walking onto that flight and seeing all of these stars all sitting there. It would be pretty freaky, wouldn't it?
Have you guys ever flown and had a celebrity on your flight?
No. Have you?
No, I haven't. But I know I was reading this article of a dude in America who he brags about how many celebrities he has flown with and he gets photos with them too. And he does like a bit of a
blog.
Well, yeah, he said some of them he doesn't bother asking because you can just tell when they don't. Yeah. But he says on American planes, the trick is to get the seat 1B or on some American planes, right, it's 3B, whatever that front row is,
yep.
because celebs often choose seat 1A, or that's what they're given, or the very back row of business. So as long as you're right up the front.
Okay.
And he sat next to Travolta, Keanu, Jennifer Lopez, Richard Branson, Billy Corgan. Like, he's got a whole list of celebs
just next to
because
a Smashing Pumpkin.
He always tries to book seat 1B.
Well, I love that story of Danny DeVito, who wanted to smoke a cigar. And of course, he was in first class, and the pilot said, "Nah, man, you can't smoke anymore."
Yeah.
I mean, unless, of course, you were prepared to ask everyone on the plane if it was okay. And he went, "Okay."
Don't tell me.
And he did. He went and talked to everyone, like, you know, each section, and said, "Does anyone mind? Does anyone mind? Does anyone mind? I'm Danny DeVito. Does anyone mind?" No one minded. He smoked his cigar.
Who's going to be the person who goes, "I've got a problem with it, Danny"?
Sorry, Danny.
Was he flying with his old mate Schwarzenegger and Michael Jordan? Because they'd be lighting up the stogie before him.
Yeah,
that is freaky. We asked Nick Nat about Michael Walters, his old mate from Bushby Street there in Midvale. They grew up pretty much together.
Yeah.
About you know, what happens if he's on the same plane? Is he going to sit next to him?
I'll tell you one thing. That bloke, the tall players normally sit at the front of the plane. So yep. if that little small midget's at the front, then something's going wrong.
So. They pick on each other. Can I just top those celebs you've thrown out there?
Yes.
I hopped on a plane flying back from Sydney about 7 or 8 years ago, and one Susanna Carr got on the plane flying in cattle. She wasn't in anywhere near the fancy pointy end of the plane.
She hasn't lost touch with the normal people.
But
mate.
It is really cool. I mean, we know Susanna the sweetheart. But she got on and she was sans makeup, no TV hair and all the rest of it. But the murmur went through the plane. We know there's a lot of Perth people on the flight heading back home and going, "Susanna Carr." Yeah, that's all you could hear. Except, and you know that as it went through the plane, she'd be able to hear Susanna Carr's on the plane.
I've heard this story, actually, but not from you. It was Susanna telling me I got on a plane and Dean Clares was there.
Yeah, as if.
Jeff in Brabham. Who did you share the plane with?
Well, unknowingly at the time, it was the smaller of the brothers from Human Nature, either Michael or Andrew Tierney. I sat in there. We're on the wing aisle, so in the wing zone at the plane, and this couple were next to me, a husband and wife, and they were sort of talking, and she was trying to get her head around Game of Thrones. She was watching it on the iPad, and he was getting frustrated. So I kind of chirped in and helped her out. And then, of course, you get talking. I'm like, "So, you know, what do you do? Where are you from?" They're like, "Oh, we live in Vegas. Yeah, we do a show there." And I was like, "Oh, you know, would I know it?" And they're like, "Oh, maybe." And I was like, "Oh, what's it called?" Like, "Oh, Motown, Human Nature." And I was like, "Oh, my God, it's very embarrassing that I didn't recognize who you were."
Well, probably found that refreshing.
Yes.
Yes, I know. It was quite good. But, they did really good. And then 2 years later, we went back to Vegas. We went to their show and then got the tour afterwards. And it was cool because he actually remembered me. And he goes, "Huh, you were the guy on the plane who had no idea who we were."
Oh, that's sweet.
Cool. Yeah, they're nice guys. Sweat. They've always been lovely when we've spent time
with
them in
brilliant
here.
Brilliant dudes. Would have been nice if he'd sort of sung the instructions for the iPad to his wife.
Would have given it away.
Yeah.
And I think
he was frustrated.
It doesn't matter that you don't recognise him. I think worse than that would be anyone who's going around advertising that they're from Human Nature or from, you know, anyone who's kind of trying to make it obvious that they're a celebrity.
Are you
is
looking
pretty
at me?
Gross.
Should I stop wearing the Mix blazer when I go everywhere?
Oh, I like it when you wear that.
Thanks, bud.
See you,
Jeff.
Yeah, like if Andrew Tierney was out there on a plane and he had the suit on, ready to go for the Vegas style Motown.
Yeah. Rachel in Janebrook, who was the celeb that you were sharing the plane with?
That would be Sam Worthington.
Wurtho. Oh, from Rockingham.
Where was he, Rach?
Yeah. Well, I think because we were on our way to LA to go to New York, but I think he was on his way to maybe start out because he... I looked at him and thought, "I know that face."
Yeah.
And it took the whole trip to LA before the lady beside me, we realised who he was. So we said hello to him and had a little chat, and then he was on his way.
Was he a nice boy?
He was a nice boy. He's quiet.
He is quiet. Yeah, we interviewed him once in a hotel room, Kimbo, you'll remember, and he looks like a movie star, but he also looks like he could be a plumber. Were they?
Yes.
And that's probably the thing that they, you know, James Cameron loves him so much.
Yeah, he's a movie star in the context of being in a movie, but in ordinary life, he doesn't have that look, so he can blend in easily.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And he was very quiet that day too, Rachel, don't worry.
I don't think he's quiet with his mates, Rach, because he's still mates with all of his childhood schoolmates, and he flew them over to the Oscars and stuff like that, so I think he's pretty...
That's really cool.
Yeah. Could I have some more peanuts, please?
He's pretty rowdy with his buddies. Hey, thanks, Rach.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Jasmine in Leederville, who was on your flight?
Judge Judith Scheinlin.
Oh, bang.
Judge Judy?
That's the best one
real.
So far.
The people are real. Awesome.
What was she like?
I couldn't help myself because I did have to say that to her, and she was really impressed with the accent. But no, she was flying from New York to to LA, and it was my 30th birthday, and I got the guys upgraded me on that flight. So, we were sitting about two seats from each other. And I was sort of asking her about some of the people that had come through her courtroom. And she was saying, oh, you know, I'd eat morons like you for breakfast. Like, you know, like, she was brilliant. She was really, really good.
Did she look like Judge Judy immediately without the, like, when she's in her civvies, she could just look like someone's nan?
She did kind of look like a little nan. Like, she was tiny. But, yeah, she honestly looked exactly the same. Yeah, you could tell straight away.
Yeah.
And, look, I shared my salted peanuts with her. And
Well, she's a perfect person to have next to you if there's a dispute over peanuts on the flight. She'll sort it out.
Oh, those were great days when we could share salted peanuts.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Great memories.
Well, you can fly.
Good Thanks, on you, Jasmine.
Oh, that's cool.
Judge Judy. Let's go to Cottesloe. Andy, g'day, mate. Who'd you share the plane with?
The Danish royal family.
Oh, look at you.
There you're talking. Sitting with royalty, Andy.
Did you recognise them straight away, Andy?
I have no idea who the Danish royal family are. I was actually on the flight sitting in Dubai waiting for takeoff, and I get a text from my wife, who's got a friend on the flight, that says, you're sitting with the Danish royal family. Well, I was still none the wiser. I didn't know who they were.
No.
So then I'm at the back of the aircraft. I was in business, luckily. And there was this poor lady with three kids that were just, she just wanted to go to the bathroom. So I said, look, I'll look after the kids. I'll help you out. And it turns out that was Princess, I think it's Princess Mary.
Yeah, Mary, from Tassie.
This other guy comes along and sits down and says, oh, thanks for helping out with the kids. And that turns out to be, I think he's Frederick.
Frederick.
I'm having a good old chat with these people. And I thought, oh, well, lovely, nice. And when we arrived in Perth, I thought, I'll just say goodbye to them. And still not knowing it was them. And then all of a sudden, all these bodyguards get up from all these different
places
and, like, kind of surround them. And I thought, wow, it was really... And my wife, when I arrived, she said, did you see them? Did you see them? And I said, well, I don't know. I think I did. And then when I saw a picture in the newspaper the next day, I realised I'd seen them.
I'm hoping, Andy, they gave you a tin of those, you know, butter biscuits that are different shapes but all taste the same.
Oh, man, I'm starting learning Denmark, and I'm going to send them a note, an email when I go across there next time to say, remember when I...
I'm thrilled for you, Andy. Danish. I mean, you can put that on your resume. You can say that you provided childminding services
to
for the Danish royal family.
How about that?
And why didn't any of the protection people help with the kid? That's bizarre, isn't it?
Because they're undercover.
Yeah, I guess.
Very serious business.
Thanks, Prince Andy. Well done. Let's go to East Freo. G'day, Shelley. Who was a famous person you rubbed shoulders with on a plane?
Well, there were two of them, actually. It was Milli Vanilli.
And
it
was Milli Vanilli.
Yeah, it was 1991, and I was flying from Melbourne to New Zealand. And it was to surprise my girlfriend for her 21st birthday. And it had just been released to the media that they were lip-syncing.
Yeah, they faked it, yeah.
It was the most uncomfortable flight. I'd been upgraded to business class, and they were behind me. People were feral.
Were they?
Yeah, walking past. Oh, you're just fake. It was just dreadful.
They would have been better sitting apart, wouldn't they, so that people hopefully wouldn't recognise them together.
Yeah, one lady said, you should probably go and sit in the cockpit.
Oh, no.
Shelley got upgraded when Milli Vanilli got downgraded.
Yeah, big time. Because it ended up that they had these international hits, but it was like one of their producers was singing and they had other vocalists, and Rob and Fab were pretty much just models. That was
Never mind.
I can't believe people called it out on them. I probably would have sat there silent. I wouldn't have really... Like,
well, that's what they should have done.
Kick someone. True.
Technically, they did.
Well, they were. Crazy Matt and Kimbo in the morning. On me.
94.5. Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist. She's a really good news reader, but here's what Claire missed.
Now, guys, I reckon if your favourite jeans or particularly your underwear went missing from your washing line, it would give you reason for concern. You'd start to think someone's been in the yard, someone's grabbing this, it's been nicked.
Or somebody out there likes me.
Such a positive spin.
Yeah. I'll just be thinking about Perth weather this week.
But I reckon if your thongs went missing from your front door, probably not as big a deal. But there's sort of, Matt, you treasure your thongs.
front door?
You know, but if your thongs went missing, you're kind of like, it's not worth calling the cops.
Okay,
is it?
No, sure.
You know, it's just thongs.
Yep.
But a community in central Thailand were experiencing a lot of thong theft.
Really?
And when police investigated CCTV footage, they identified the same 24-year-old man had been stealing thongs from people for 2 years. He has got himself a collection of 126 pairs.
Really?
126 pairs of thongs that he's had for himself. So the cops turn up to have a word with him and go, come on, mate.
Come on, buddy.
What is going on
CSI
here?
CSI Chiang Mai.
Yeah, you hear it with sneakers a lot. I've got some Michael Jordan Airs.
And they're all really well worn and, you know, they've been used. Turns out he's been having sex with them.
Oh.
Let's talk about sex, baby.
I know what you're thinking. Like, it's not just sex with thongs.
No.
He said he cuddles and kisses them first.
Aww.
He rubs them on himself.
Okay.
And then he has sex with them.
He's got a thong
fetish. So
there's
foreplay too.
He doesn't slap himself with them?
Well, I guess he
First is, thing that came to mind, Matt.
He is flipping on his flops, I would say, for sure.
A bit toey.
A bit.
At least he's using rubber.
You know what's bad too is that they got all 126 pairs and they laid them out on a cloth. The cops laid them all out like as evidence.
That's turning me on.
Did any of the cops steal
them? As evidence, and the community people could see them. Like, imagine if you could see your pair of violated thongs sitting on a
Well, and imagine if you go in, you know, if he goes to jail for that and you're having to do that thing about, what are you in for?
Thong theft?
I mean, plenty of rubber sex. Yeah. And like, police have no idea how to charge him.
What a strange fetish, isn't it?
Yeah, they don't really know what to do, but I've sort of been a part of me feels sorry for him. Like, he just wanted to slip into something more comfortable.
Let him go. Let him go.
All I can see is your bright blue ones in that pile and that police lineup.
Hey, who hasn't fallen in love with a double plugger?
Crazy Matt and Kimbo in the morning on Mix 94.5. Family Feud coming back to Channel 10.
Oh, nothing like a feuding family to make you feel good about yourself.
Sounds like the last 2 months, doesn't it? But Grant Denny, the host with the most, is on the line. Grant, good to hear your voice, mate. Welcome.
Pleasure to chat to you guys.
Grant, Family Feud, it's back. I mean, it's an absolute classic. Did the producers try and freshen it up, or did they know this formula works as it is, let's not mess with it?
It's rock solid, has been since about the 1960s. It's in about 50 countries at the moment. So it's not something you ever want to play with because it just works. I think bringing it back for a reason is pretty important. And we thought, God, you know what we need in these times, in these heavy, dark times, is just a good laugh, something silly, seeing people say something stupid for cash. And so we thought maybe the timing of COVID is a great time to bring it back.
Grant, explain this concept of saying something stupid for cash. I'm not familiar with it.
It's kind of cool. You never know what someone's going to say on Family Feud, and therein lies the magic of it.
Hey, Grant, may seem like a silly question, but it's a bit weird. The family, the feuding families are 1.5 metres apart. You need a really big wide shot to get them all in, right?
We've got a big studio. Exactly right. We're going to film it at the MCG.
At least it'll be something at the G.
A little bit where everybody on the show has to already live under the one roof.
Gotcha.
They are already sort of exempt from, you know, those kind of quarantine regulations.
Grant, in the history of the show for you, are the nans the weakest demographic? Is it them because they're not in touch, or is it the uncles or the brothers? What have you noticed? Who usually lets the side down?
It's the reluctant uncle that's invited along. You can tell because he's got his jeans and his white runners underneath. And he doesn't really want to be there, but for the family to get on the show, they needed four people.
Yes. Yeah, sure.
I normally target.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, the weakest link.
Watching them squirm under the pressure of studio lights and an audience and the potential of winning. No one wants to be the family member that costs the other family members 100 grand.
Brilliant. Hey, buddy, I think you know about this. We've been asked to write a children's book. Any tips or any classics, children's stories that you can relate to us?
Oh, that's funny you should say that, because actually my brand new TV show after Family Feud is called I'm a Celebrity, Get Me a Book Deal Now.
Oh, sensational.
If I wrote a children's book, it probably has to be about failing, you know, that it's okay to fail. Because I think the most important thing I ever learned as a kid, I was in a school play and I was playing a gay Irishman from the 70s.
As you do.
And I got knocked out in the middle of the play by someone else running across set in the dark, and they clocked me, and I finished the show locked in character, and I was locked in character for the next 3 hours until they called an ambulance. Mm. And when I got to the hospital, and the doctor goes, he's moving my leg, making to see how bad my concussion is, making sure I don't have any brain injury, and he goes, can you feel this? Can you feel this? And I go, yes, I can, and it feels wonderful.
Well, and was Joel Creasy charged with assault?
He clocked me in the dark.
He's dangerous in the dark, isn't he? You can. The applications are now open. If you're a doctor, nurse, paramedic, firefighter, teacher, or more, you can get your team of four together and just go to 10play and get involved. Thanks, Grant.
See you guys. Crazy Matt and Kimbo in the morning on
Mix 94.5. Guys, 2020, I mean, this year has and forever will be known as the year of coronavirus.
That sound is really alarming.
It's awful, really eerie.
If anyone just woke up and
everything's
hears this,
fine.
It's all right, guys.
Everything's fine.
Don't need the bunker.
This is a comic take.
Okay, look out at that skyline with this alarm, and it's terrifying.
It's disturbing. Yeah.
Hey, it has been, I mean, God, I'm not the first one to say this. There's been some weirdness, right?
Yep.
The world got turned upside down.
Yep.
Everything that we thought, like people who would invest in gold or iron ore, all of a sudden it turned out you should be into toilet paper or arborio rice, right?
True.
New terms like social distancing, flattening the curve. I mean, who would have thought hand washing was a thing, right?
Yeah.
And things were for us. So one minute we were here, the next minute we're broadcasting from home.
Yeah, you were in your kitchen.
I was in my kitchen. And then we come back and we're the only ones in the building, which I was feeling quite comfortable about that. But times are changing now and people have started coming back into the building.
Yeah.
And our company, as it should, is implementing a vast array of measures to keep us safe from each other.
You see the girls in sales yesterday. A couple of heads popped up, and I went, "Oh, I haven't seen you for a while."
Yes, a lot of elbow touching. First thing I noticed, one in the lift.
You can only have one person. There's a big sticker. We've got these big, they're like laminated signs, aren't they? And there's big numbers on them that make it really clear how many people are allowed in that space. So when Matt and I tried to go down in the lift yesterday,
you wanted to get together?
We couldn't go together.
You didn't do one for one. Did you toss a coin or what was it?
No,
did you
I'm a gentleman.
Yes, right. He let me go first.
I was going to say you went first and later take the stairs.
I saw the sign and thought, have I put on weight? You know, but the great thing is you can now pick your nose in peace because you know that you're not being watched.
Yeah, there is a camera.
Yeah. And there's now hand sanitizers, which for a second there you could not get.
Yeah.
But now it's everywhere, and we've got it on every single desk in a tiny bottle. It looks like someone's gone through Crown and rifled through all those shampoos.
Yeah, and these sanitation kits, these baskets we've got with Chucks wipes and sprays and disinfectants.
That's where you should have bought shares.
Room.
Who owns Chucks?
Oh, yes.
It's everywhere.
Everywhere. And now and this is freaking me out a little bit, there's that yellow and black tape.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Which kind of looks like a nuclear meltdown anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got arrows pointing in the direction that we should walk around the office.
It's only in one direction.
One direction. Yeah. I mean, finally, you'll get those 10,000 steps up a day, KC, right?
Yeah, because we all have to go the same way. For us to get to the kitchen now from the studio, we have to go all the way around the other side of the office and go in one way.
The bit near our desk reminds me of an episode of CSI, New York.
Yes.
I'm looking for Gary Sinise. You know, totally. Is he all around the corner? Is that his nose?
As long as my shape isn't taped on the floor.
Exactly. You know,
my favourite, too, is that they've got these little stickers on the ground.
Yes.
And the stickers on the ground have got a big 1.5 in the middle. You've got to say 1.5 metres apart, but the messaging has changed from we're all in this together, because at the bottom of our stickers it says apart at all times.
Absolutely. And those
bizarre.
Those circles are on the stairs as well. It's like some weird life and death game of Twister.
Oh, see, I got confused. I thought the 1.5 meant you were 1.5 the size you used to be beforehand and you could go in the lift alone.
Well, only in some of our cases.
Right, okay.
Oh, God. If there's toilet foot openers, we've already done our groin on those.
Oh, no, they're dangerous. Yeah.
But there is an upside.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we have a meeting every day after the show to discuss the next day. And fortunately, the meeting room, there's only three available.
Mm.
And with producer Tom.
There was four of us.
And I got to leave the meeting.
So
home early. Hey. Bang. Love you, coronavirus.
You know what that means? You're in the meeting today.
Oh, no. Crazy Matt and Kimbo in the morning on
Mix 94.5. We have a report an interesting report on the Tonkin Highway. Ben from Palmyra. G'day, Ben.
G'day.
What are you saying?
An emu is walking up Tonkin Highway.
There's an emu walking up Tonkin Highway.
Is he in high vis, Ben?
No, just past Nangara Road.
Oh, okay. Is it causing a bit of danger for people, mate?
No, not really. There's not that much traffic.
He's just having a little wander about. All right, well, if you're near Tonkin Highway, near Nangara Road there, be careful of the emu.
Yeah, you're not seeing things. You haven't taken anything. It is an emu.
Thanks, Ben.
Northbound.
Oh, good.
Awesome, bud. Thanks, mate.
Thanks for the report, Ben.
They make weird noises, don't they?
Emus?
Yeah, there you go.
I haven't spent a lot of time with them, to be honest with you.
Well, do you want to head out to Tonkin?
Yeah, I'm going to go. Where's Ben?
Yeah, we're out on the Tonkin recreating the coat of arms today. Crazy Matt and Kimber.
Crazy Matt and Kimber in the morning. On Mix 94.5.
Have faith.
Ben.
You must have faith.
Ooh, I gotta have faith.
Do not lose your hope.
Oh, there we go. Thank you. There's an artist might pop up in the 20 for the goat, George Michael. But let's
certainly
move on.
So.
We're going to play the game, and today it's Matt's turn for Faith.
It is. What we're going to do, Maddie, is we've got you. We're going to ask you a general knowledge question. Hopefully you're going to know the answer to it, but we'll see. We've got Deanne in Heathridge. How are you, Deanne?
Hey, Deanne.
I'm well, thanks. Good morning, all.
Welcome.
Deanne, we'll ask Maddie this general question in a moment. He's going to leave the room.
Okay, you want me to go now?
Yeah, off
I'm
you
going
go.
To do me best for you, Deanne.
Right, okay.
Yeah, go, mate. Whoa. Rack off.
Now, Deanne, we're going to tell you the category of the question, and you just, maybe you know Matt, maybe you know what he's into and what he would know. Mm. All you have to do is tell us if you have faith in him knowing the answer or not. It's okay if you don't, but it's up to you, okay?
Okay.
Claire-Z.
Okay. Here is the theme of today's question is children's literature. So it's about kids' books today, Deanne.
Ooh.
What do you think, Deanne? Do you reckon Matt's going to know his stuff on this? It's okay if you say you don't have faith and he gets it wrong, you'll win. But if you say you do and he gets it right, you'll win.
Yeah. Do you feel you know Matt well enough to have a crack at this? What do you reckon? Yes or no?
Oh, it's a tough one. I think
Steppy
D's a little bit older for children's books at the moment.
Yeah, she's just turned 9 though, so...
Oh, okay. All right. Look, I'm going to have faith in him.
Okay.
You will? Okay. Right. Yep. We won't tell him yet, Deanne.
Okay,
we're going to send Matt back in.
Yeah, he's had his fingers in his ears.
Now.
And in he comes.
Maddie.
Welcome back to the studio, mate.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, good to see you.
Dean Clares, what's the category for today?
Today's category, Matthew, is, and this is timely because we're writing kids' books, it's children's literature.
Okay.
Okay, here it is, Maddie. Here's your question.
Mm.
Now, Eric...
Ooh. Oh, God, that's dramatic.
Jesus, that's really scary.
Sorry, I should have warned you it was a drone coming.
Yeah.
And jumped. Eric Carle wrote the best-selling Aussie kids book. Which book is it?
Eric Carle?
Yep. What is the title of the book? It is the best-selling Aussie kids book.
Of all time.
Written by Eric Carle.
Well and truly up there, man.
Oh,
now,
man.
While you're having a think about it, Deanne, don't give us the answer, but do you think you would have known the answer if we'd questioned you on it?
Absolutely.
Oh, really? Now I feel even worse. I've never heard that name before in my life.
Oh, okay. Dear. All right. Well.
How many kids you got, Deanne?
Two.
Could tell if you knew that.
Oh,
yeah.
Damn. Oh, God. I mean.
This is a tough one.
Okay, because the ones that I know, right, the treehouse, it ain't him because that's not his name.
Yep.
Oh, God. Okay, look, I got it. This has just come into my head, so I'm going to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Blinky Bill.
Blinky Bill.
Ooh, interesting answer, isn't it?
Okay. Right. Well, Claire-Z, is Blinky Bill correct?
Blinky Bill is incorrect.
Oh, it's incorrect.
Mm.
The book The Very Hungry Caterpillar.
Oh, damn it.
But you don't know if Deanne had faith in you or not.
Oh, no, I don't. Oh, yeah.
So,
that's right, yeah.
Deanne, tell Matt whether you had faith in him.
I did have faith in you, Matt.
Oh, I'm sorry, Eric.
Oh, Deanne, we feel terrible when we let the listeners down. We feel so bad,
Deanne,
when we get them wrong.
That's all right. Not a problem.
It was a
back
tough one.
Back to the library for you.
Yeah, I know.
Back to the library.
Insects with eating disorders. What was I supposed to do with it?
We thought you might get it if you had a stab in the dark, because we talked about that book this week too, but tough one.
Well, I did have a stab in the dark.
Can I also tell you the question changed because the answer was going to be Eric Carle.
Yeah, oh, which never would have
got that either, no.
Yeah,
Eric Carle sounds like an 80s singer.
Yeah, we played on the halfback playing for Essendon in the 80s, yeah.
Sorry, Deanne.
Oh, never mind.
Not a problem.
Have a great day.
Enjoy your long weekend, Deanne. Deanne of Heathridge right there.
Would you guys have known that?
No.
No, it would have been, you'd have to throw in a guess.
I would have said, yeah, I only read one book as a kid, and that was Where Did I Come From, so. Yeah.